In this 130th season of the VAFA, we welcome you to the RSN Carnival Match of the Day.
This is what we love.
So come alive.
I just love it. It's a great story. It's outstanding stuff. It's local footy at its very best.
A third of the way through the season, we bring you a game with massive ramifications.
Wowee.
A win for University Blues pushes them up into the top half of the ladder.
Well, this is extraordinary.
While Caulfield can't afford to drop another game at home. It's live from Glenn Huntley Oval.
Fresh air shot getting Boulder Boot. Watson, meantime, is through Boulder Boot. Spun it towards goal, and that's quite magnificent.
He's getting around Carr. He's snapping over his shoulder. He's shooting towards goal, and he's nailing it.
So Jules sets it up into the breeze and hammers another one for the field.
Runs to 50, goes for goal and puts it through.
He's there, he spins around, left foot kick in the goal. Oh, and he's kicked it.
Oh, you beauty.
And now, come alive with the call the players listen to. The number one call team in town.
The voice and face, old Tinkles himself.
It's live and exclusive on RSN Carnival, the official radio partner of the VAFA. All thanks to Mequacare. Head to mequacare.org.au or free call them now on 1800 163 292.
Towards Fisher, it's Brooke Boot at it. Towards goal, he goes fishing and he gets a bite.
Gets a handball all the way towards Goss.
Oh,
who hugs it in and then the radio lands. Goal!
Cream rises to the top, Nico, when the best players get the ball in their hands.
Yes, when footy comes to Glenn Huntley Oval, you can bet your bottom dollar it's a match worth remembering, and today is no exception. 7 days is a long time in the footy world as University Blues come here off the back of their best win of the season. Well, for Caulfield, they have to respond after an ugly loss at Brighton Beach Oval. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the RSN Carnival Match of the Day. It is round six of the VAFA season. Joe Pignataro is my name. Looking forward to bringing you all the action from University Blues and Caulfield Grammarians from Glen Huntley Oval. And it's all for Mequacare, a leading not-for-profit organisation with a reputation for excellence. You can free call them now on 1800 163 292 or visit mequacare.org.au. There's plenty on the agenda this Saturday afternoon. It's a bit overcast. It's pretty wet. But Glen Huntley Oval looks in magnificent condition for this big clash. Alongside me in the pre-game, he's one of the greats of the AMMO's umpiring fraternity in this community umpiring round. And he's joining us for the hour before the first bounce, Mr. Nick Duxon. Hello, Nico.
Joey, great to be here. Thanks for the pump up. I'm not sure the F-grade umpire that gets rolled in at last minute deserves that sort of applause. But no, good to be here and nice that the roof's on, at least above our heads anyway.
Yes.
It's greasy, it's spitting, it's... Days like these remind me why I don't play football anymore.
Well, these are the days I used to relish, waking up at 6:30 for the 8 o'clock appearance and the 9:20 start, which you had this morning, Nico, doing some umpiring cross-community umpiring round. How was the morning out there umpiring?
Magnificent. It's good to be back involved after a few years out of it and jumping back into a couple of women's games, which is great, and watching the development of that, which last time I umpired in the AMMOs, I don't even think there was a women's comp, so
right.
It's taken off.
There you go. Okay, well, we're going to talk about umpiring in just a moment in a bit more depth with Stephen Privatera, the AMMOs umpire operations manager. Guy Martin is going to join us, the coach of University Blues, and Willie Edwards, all in the pregame. He's the captain of Caulfield. He's out today, but what we have to do, Nico, is officially open proceedings. Kevin Hillier is going to welcome us in to the Saturday warm-up at 1:05.
On RSN Carnival.
I say to you, go out there today, play the game.
We reckon we can win this game. We reckon we can win it if you blokes stick together.
There are no excuses on this football ground today.
Welcome to the Saturday warm-up for Mequacare, caring for the Victorian community since 1959.
It is the Saturday warm-up, all for Mequacare. You can give them a call, 1800 163 292 or visit mequacare.org.au. Now, Nick, there's plenty on the agenda, but first, there's some news out of VAFA HQ yesterday, which you may have caught up with. The AMMOs have a new CEO. Jason Reddick has been appointed to the role. Jason joins the VAFA in that position after 28 years in executive positions across the Carlton Footy Club as a CFO and at Williamstown between 2015 and 2021. The Williamstown Footy Club that is in the VFL. Recently, he's been the GM of Partnerships, Fundraising and Communications for National Sport and Recreational Charity RecLink Australia. Comes highly credentialed, does Jason? He'd have some pretty good success over at Williamstown in recent years, wouldn't he?
Yeah, they've been pretty dominant, haven't they, in VFL footy and particularly the last couple of years transitioning to that standalone club sort of position.
The board has engaged Carruthers Executive and Sports Executive to conduct the recruitment process, and from a wide range of applicants, Jason was the most successful. President of the competition, George Voyage, explained on the AMMO's website through a statement that they are thrilled to have secured a person of Jason's experience to lead the VAFA through this next period of growth. Jason himself is a great VAFA man. He's from the Therapinola Footy Club, who have the Round 5 Rising Star. No coincidence then that they've had the Rising Star, and Jace joins the competition. He officially starts his role on Tuesday the 14th of June. Peter Grant, who's been there in the interim, no surprise that Pete has decided to step away effective immediately, as the best point of contact now will be Glenn Towers. But Pete leaves as Old Brighton get a win last weekend. So it's all happening in VAFA HQ. People are leaving right on time. But we do want to thank Pete for all his work the last few weeks in the role as CEO and congratulate and welcome Jason to the competition. We look forward to him starting on the 14th of June. And he's already excited, Nico, for a grilling from Grumpy Brian on the podcast in
the
coming
weeks. I was
about
to say, have you already been in contact to lock him in for the podcast and some pre-game commitments?
Well, I wanted him to come on this afternoon, but he's still got a few commitments he's got to tie up elsewhere. So in a couple of weeks' time, Grumpy Brian and I will lock it in. If you have any questions for him, jot them down and we'll put them on the list that we can chat to him about in the coming weeks. This is the Saturday warm-up, 7 minutes past one. Community umpiring round we're going to discuss in just a moment, Nico. But first, you may have heard on the way here this afternoon, Brian Waldron on the podcast earlier this week talk about an incident he had with Andy Marr back in the day where they may have come to grips with one another and gripping other things than the ball. I'll play a bit of that because Andy Marr responded to Brian on SEN last night. Have a listen to this and then I want to get your take on some unique injuries that have happened over the journey in the world of football.
He was just unlucky. I was playing one day out at Marston. Oh, look, for some reason, we crossed paths. I happened to be going, as I would have been going at high speed, and Andy was a bit of a plotter. So I reckon we were both playing twos. I must have been coming back from injury. Andy played there all year round. He just, you know, that was probably his level. He sort of never made it to a higher level, Andy. But he certainly, not through want of trying to persuasion of the coaches, because as you know, he could certainly talk his way out of a wet paper bag, not quite, but he could talk. So I think what happened was I was going, let's say I was going one way, he was coming the other, and the ball was out of reach. For some reason, I think I either grabbed hold of his knackers, and it was by accident. I remember doing it and going, oh, sorry, mate. He went down the screaming, he carried off to hospital, where they said, there's actually nothing wrong with you, Andrew. Get back here. Stop embarrassing yourself. Oh, he's a great man, Andy Marr. So yeah, that's the story. But he was unfortunate to cop that. But it's got the rounds of the kitchen. But you know, going off to hospital complaining about it, there's actually nothing wrong with him. He did squeal like a pig, but that could happen.
That's from a VAFA podcast.
Extraordinary.
Called For the Love of the Game. So you were squirrel gripped by Brian
It was
Waldron.
Actually a dealer. It wasn't at Marcelin. And it wasn't. It was in a pack situation where the ball was at the bottom of the pack. And in a place that I wasn't all that terribly familiar with being. And this bloke looked at me and just grabbed my plums.
Yes.
And several years later, we started working in the same industry. And I said, you remember that day at Dealer? And he goes, yeah, was that you? And I said, yep.
Were you taken to hospital?
No hospital.
Did you squeal like a pig?
No, I did not.
There you go.
No, I did not.
Unbelievable.
And I didn't kick 100. I didn't kick 100.
99, didn't you?
For the sake of honesty and
accuracy.
Openness. Accuracy is very important that we get that right. Good man, Brian Waldron. But he's added some layers to that story that aren't exactly true.
Well, I'm not sure he's a good man, is Brian Waldron. He's a grumpy man, but there you go. So back in the day, they were playing against each other, Nico, cross paths on the field, and Brian Waldron accidentally grabbed the wrong ball and left him in a squealing pig situation.
It feels like the two of them might need to come together and just sort of nut out the truth of this story.
Nut out the truth, okay.
There's just a few things that need clarification, a few different versions of events, and you know, maybe you could bring the two of them face to face. And I was going to say relive the moment. Let's not go that far. But maybe just find the truth.
The common ground. Now, both of them kicked 99 in a season. Neither could get to the magical ton. Before we move off this, have you experienced a unique injury yourself or seen one in your time in the game?
No. When you hang on the outside and chase cheap kicks, you generally don't get any sort of contact. All I can think of here, and particularly when you're talking about guys kicking 99 and 100, is Brennan Favola at the Brownlow.
Yes.
Might have been the after party. Chris Judd and some chicken wing sort of action. I don't know why that's the first thing that jumps to mind.
Well, you got all sorts that make it on the Saturday warm-up. So Brendan Favola at the Brownlow is is where Nick Duxon's going for unique injuries. I thought you might have gone with a couple that have had ruptured testicles in recent times, haven't they?
Quite serious injury. No laughing matter.
No, they aren't. They aren't. They would be absolutely, absolutely painful. But if you've got some unique injuries that come to mind, 0416 90 50 52 or tweet us at @Vaffa_HQ. Now, you know all too well, Nico, that this weekend is community umpiring round in the Vaffa. They're recognising the contribution umpires make to the game of Australian rules football. Without the umpires, we simply don't have a game. A lot has been discussed about umpiring in recent weeks, but this weekend we're putting them in the spotlight and we're celebrating the work that they do. Stephen Privatera, he is the VAFA's umpire operations manager. Now, he joins us in the Saturday warm-up ahead of the first bounce here today. Hello, Stephen.
Hey, Joey. How's it going?
It's going great. It's going great. How are you going this weekend?
Yeah, very good. Excited for umpires round. We had a great turnout on Wednesday night at umpire training and some very special guests as well.
I want to talk to you about that throughout this little few minutes. We're going to talk about all things to do with umpiring. It's a busy weekend in the MOs. We've got a lot of games to cover every week. How do you go about putting together the schedule that you release every week?
Well, our coaches do a great job. We've got field, boundary and goal umpire coaches. Yes. And then in at VAFA HQ, we also assist with the appointments process as well. So it's a great team effort. There's a few complexities in the appointments and managing availabilities and getting umpires across to as many venues as possible to, you know, maximise the coverage on match day for our clubs.
Now, I've got to know you a little bit throughout this year, and you're from a footballing background in the terms of soccer. It's a little bit easier of a game to officiate the soccer than it is Australian rules football, but you were telling me that our numbers are pretty significant, they're pretty good, and as I said before, over 400 people dedicate themselves to boundary field or goal umpiring each weekend in the AMOs. What about for people listening who have decided in the last couple of weeks, maybe I want to give the whistleblowing a go? How do they go about doing it?
Well, we would love to have more boundary field and goal umpires involved. So it's quite simple. Just head along to vaffa.com.au, have a look at the umpiring section. Basically fill out your name and contact details and then I'll be in touch with you. But the main thing is to come out to a training night on a Monday or a Wednesday, and then our coaches can have a chat with you, see what you would like to do if you're umpiring, which discipline, whether it be boundary, field or goal, and then we can provide you all the information you need to get started, which will be a registration, uniform and getting onto our appointment system scheduler.
Now, you mentioned Monday and Wednesday night training. I noticed on the website there was a big turnout on Wednesday night earlier on this week. Four AFL umpires came down to training. I think three of them were involved in the AMOs at one point throughout their career. What was that like?
It was amazing. We had the umpire photos and recruitment video up on the scoreboard. So some great work by our media department there. Glenn and Cam did a great job. We had Simon Meredith, Chris Donlan, Patrick Cran and Michael Saunders. Very lucky to have those gentlemen join us. They ran a couple of training drills, which was great. And they also stayed for a Q&A after training just to share their experiences and umpiring journey with the VAFA umpires. It was a great night and a really good celebration of all things VAFA umpiring.
Now, you have written the editorial this week that's in the Amateur Footballer. It's also plastered all over the VAFA website. What was that experience like? You just mentioned the media team turning into a bit of a journalist this week.
Well, I don't think so. But, yeah, no, it was great. Really important to highlight the good news stories in our community and thank the important members. So all of our umpires are very dedicated and do an amazing job out there on the weekend. They love their craft and work very hard on it throughout the week. There's lots of video coaching every Wednesday night and also fitness coaching that takes place. So they are a great bunch of individuals who make a significant contribution to our game.
Have you found in your short time here with the Amos, and you just mentioned video coaching and the amount of coaches involved on Monday night training, Wednesday night training, even going out to games and watching other people officiate, that it's becoming more and more professional, more and more structured in the way they go about umpiring Australian rules football?
It is, yeah. It's all the small details. So, the coaches, each umpire is a squad coach, and they'll review the footage from their game or also, an observation on match day even at halftime. So it's, very specific feedback that's given. And, it's great. And we also have clubs that will send through some vision from time to time seeking clarification on a 50-50 decision. Really important, the video coaching element of it all.
And I think there's no greater compliment in our competition when, in recent times, I'm not sure if it's happened at all this year yet, but clubs have reached out to previous men in your role or women in your role and being told what a great job that the umpires do on the weekends, and they come into the club rooms after the game and have themselves a bit of food or drink, get to know the players that they've just spent a couple of hours officiating. Before I let you go, what role do the Umpires Association play in all of this? For people who aren't aware, there is yourself, who is inside here, VAFA HQ, and then there is a VAFA Umpires Association. Are they separate bodies altogether? How does it work?
Yeah, that's correct. So the VAFA UA are a support and well-being network for the umpires. They also provide a lot of the social activities. So they run, the catering on a Wednesday night and all the social fun activities. They do an amazing job. Their committee, led by their president, Ben McGuigan, really good people who are passionate about umpiring, and they're there for their umpires from a well-being perspective. But also they link in the recruitment and the retention piece through their social activity. So we're very lucky to have, the UA committee on site and, a fantastic working relationship with them. And, we look forward to continuing it.
They're often the forgotten club in all the clubs that we have in the competition. But without them, we don't have a game. The umpires, I want to make mention before I do officially say goodbye to you and enjoy your weekend. Kevin Sagoda, Chili Sagoda, we highlighted him a couple weeks ago. We spoke to him on the podcast. 900 games in the competition dating back to, I think it might be 1978, if you don't mind. Now, can we find out who's second to Chili? Can we do that throughout the week coming up?
I think we can make some time. It's going to take some catching. What an amazing achievement. I'm sure there's a few who have been around long time, Joey. So, we'll have a look through our records and see who we can come up with. But there'll be a few, chasing the great man, Chili.
There certainly will be. Steve, thank you for coming on the pregame show and chatting to us about a significant round, community umpiring round. As we said, over 400 dedicated boundary field and goal umpires take the field each week in the competition. Head to vafit.com.au if you do want to be a part of it. Enjoy your weekend. Where else are you heading off to this weekend, football-wise?
Football-wise, I'll be watching the Blues play on Sunday, so we'll see how they go. It'll be a close game, I think.
All the best. All the best. We'll chat to you very soon, Stephen. Take care.
Thanks, Joey.
Stephen Privatera, the umpire operations manager at the Amos, joining us. Not sure he quite understood the last question about which Amos game are you watching. He just nominated Carlton. Goodness me.
Carlton aren't an Amos side anymore, are they? They've been very competitive this year.
Oh, I don't know about that. The wheels can fall off very quickly at the old Dark Levy Blues. Now, I want to ask you before we take a break. You are an umpire in the Amos, and you've come back, is it this year, and done some umpiring work. What was your reason to get back involved?
Partly the sitting on the couch and realising that I needed an excuse to get up and go for a run, and there's not a lot of incentive to just get off the couch for me and jog laps, but I'll probably buy product of work. I umpired, you know, the best part of 6 or 7 years ago, and then when you work in sport, and particularly footy, it's hard to commit to weekends regularly, and this is the first year I've had the chance to be able to go off and do that again, and it's been nice to be back involved, particularly when you can't play footy and you love the game, and to chase the footy around and, you know, just keep an eye on what's going on in community footy. It's nice to be back.
It certainly is. Now, Kevin Chile-Sagoda, I mentioned with Steve just then, 900 games. Are you anywhere near a milestone for yourself? Maybe not 900, but...
Oh, I'm not sure that I'd ever be able to keep count. And the first couple of years, there was some Amos games, and with work, I ended up in Sydney in the country, and I'd have no idea, and I'd have to contact too many people to keep tabs on where it's at now, I reckon.
Well, we can start counting your broadcast games. This is number two for you, on your way to 900, Nico. Let's take a quick break on the RSN Carnival Match of the Day. It is the Saturday warm-up for Mequaket. After the break, we're going to chat to the Caulfield Grammarians captain, Willie Edwards. Unfortunately, he is not playing today. He'll join us very shortly. Plus, Guy Martin from University Blues is also going to join us before the first bounce at 2 o'clock. We're 40 minutes away. Plenty more to come after this.
You're listening to the VAFA Match of the Day on RSN Carnival. All thanks to Mequaket, providing care to the Victorian community since 1959.
The shot from right on 50. It's stand and deliver sort of stuff right now from Caulfield. Just threw one boot at it. Now he's rushing back to pick it up. He's getting around Carr. He's snapping over his shoulder. He's shooting towards goal. And he's nailing it! Lockie Stevens with a goal of the day contender. His kick, though, is intercepted by Wallace at centre-half back. And there's the final siren. It's six in a row for the Fields, Nico.
It is 24 minutes past 1 o'clock. Saturday afternoon footy comes from Glen Huntley Oval today on RSN Carnival. All for Mequaket. You can give them a buzz on 1800 163 292 or visit mequaket.org.au. Nico, that was last time Caulfield met University Blues, and it was out at Melbourne Uni, and they stunned them in an avalanche of an opening term. And the best player on the ground was Will Edwards. Unfortunately, he won't be today. He's sitting with us right now in the pre-game show. Hello, Will.
Joey, boys, thanks for having me. Good to be here.
Thanks for joining us. I'm sure you'd much prefer to be getting ready for this game than sitting here with us. How are you feeling?
Yeah, good. I wish I was playing, to be honest, but obviously got a little knock on the face last week, so I had to get a bit of plastic surgery. So I'm told I shouldn't play today, otherwise it'll split open, and I think I might be single if I decided to play and it opened up again. So here I am.
And it's just going to be for this week? Every chance to get up for next week?
Yeah, I'll be good to go for next week. So just the one.
Now, how has the week been in reviewing what happened last week at Brighton Beach Oval? It wasn't a pretty day for the Fields.
No, it wasn't. It's never going to be an easy day out at Brighton. Obviously, didn't go the way we would have liked, but we review it like we review every game on a Tuesday and see what needs to be tweaked, and then you move on. You move on to Uni Blues this week. We still have full confidence that we can get the job done today, and the boys are ready to do so. So. All eyes on today.
And were there some silver linings or shining lights in last week? Jack Wallace was one of those through the midfield. Is he stepping up into your role today as the captain?
Yes, he will be, Jackie Wallace. So he and Tate Short are the two vice-captains, so they'll both step up today. Last week, Jackie Wallace was obviously super. He kicked a couple of important goals and had plenty of the footy, so he was one shining light. Gussie Cameron down back, he's had a super year. He's a very, very impressive player. He's only 22 or so. He could definitely play higher, I would have thought. So he's been super this year. But, obviously, overall, it wasn't the day we wanted to have. But, again, that's with the good thing about footy. 1 week later, we have a chance on our deck and, to get the W on the board.
How important is today in terms of the context of your season at 1-4 and you pinch this one and you're potentially not too far out of that top four position again?
Yeah, exactly. And this year, you see with the results, it's a pretty even sort of ladder at the moment. So, today's important, but it's just another game. It's a long year, and there's a lot of footy still to be played. So, obviously, today's important, but we do what we can to get the win today. And if not, there's still a long year ahead. So, fully back us to get back on the winners list and, get more wins and get the losses staying at four and the wins creeping up would be nice.
Well, you went on that seven-game tear last year and one of those was against University Blues, as we just heard some of the audio. Flanners and I were out there at that game at Melbourne Uni where you shot the lights out in the opening term. Do you watch much of what you did last year in that game to bring it into today, or is it completely different?
not so much that game specifically, but I think last year shows that things can change very quickly. Yeah, we're 1-4. It's not probably where we want to be sitting at this point of the year, but things can change really quickly. So inside the four walls, so to speak, we're fully confident that it can change. We're back on our home deck. We love playing here. I think opposition teams don't like playing here. So, yeah, things can change very quickly. And, yeah, we're confident we can get on a roll as we did last year. So, yeah, see how we go.
Jeez, there's a bit of AFL media training in there, isn't there? Inside good, isn't the four he? Walls and 1 week at a time.
Big cliches.
Oppositions hate coming to the opposition club rooms. Always away. Yeah, always away.
Exactly.
Conditions today, it's a little bit different. Greasy, do you think that plays into your favour at all? Do you have to adjust the way that you might go about the game?
Yeah, it's a bit wet at the moment, but I reckon it's going to dry up if I've read the weather forecast correctly. So hopefully it dries up and we get a good game of footy, but either way, the boys will read the conditions and go about it accordingly, I reckon.
Now, every time University Blues come up against someone, we always look at their team and go, geez, they're flush with so much AFL experience. Unfortunately, for the sake of what the expectations we put on them, it's not that they're 5-0 and shooting the lights out. Teams come up against them, they produce their very best, and at this stage of the season, they're nullifying all their influence. Do you focus on them at all, or do you just worry about the 22 that's going to run out today for the Fields?
Yeah, most of the focus is on us, to be honest, but as per every week, there's obviously each opposition has a few players that you need to keep an eye on, so we'll be doing that today like we do with every other team we come up against. So, but to be honest, the focus is on us. If we play the footy that we want to play, we're confident we can beat anyone, so focus is mostly on us, but just wary of a couple of players on the Uni Blues team for sure.
You got a couple of names that you're wary of out there?
Old Mud Buchanan is one of the great blokes going around. He's also a super footballer, so we'll have a bit of a watch on him, that's for sure, on the great man.
Now, I have to ask you about a player in your team who I think might have the best name in the competition, Ingo Dammersmith. What's Ingo's story?
Yeah, so he's a Caulfield boy. He's a Morecambe medalist, so he won the best and fairest for the school first 18 last year. So he's a super player, and he makes his senior debut for the club. So again, great to see. Some good quality Caulfield people coming through. So yeah, definitely keep an eye out for him. He's played most of the time forward, I would have thought, but he can also go back. Takes a good mark, pretty athletic. So. Believe he was stiff to go higher, so he's definitely one to watch today.
Was he essentially coming in, filling your shoes, and you're saying they're pretty big shoes to fill?
Yeah, he's tall and athletic, and I'm short and slow.
Now, what about your ruck stocks? We were hoping to see Declan Riley back today. He hasn't got up for this game. Is he far away from playing again?
Yeah, he was probably 50-50 for today. And we just sort of err on the side of caution with Big Deck. He's obviously important to us, but he'll be back for next week. The Trinity, I think we've got away. So, he's just 1 week away, I'd say, for Big Deck.
And Jared Rissol?
Jared Rissol will be back next week. He... bit of concussion from the game against Xavier, so again, with concussions, we all know, got to be super cautious with those, so he'll miss the two, and he'll be back for Trinity next week as well.
And while we're on concussions, we might as well ask you about Sam Dorovic. How did he pull up after last Saturday?
I think he wasn't great for the sort of Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. I think he's gradually got better as the week's gone on, but again, as with Jared Rissol, we'll be super cautious with him and make sure he's 100% right before I even think about doing any physical contact. So, good to see he's here today, and I think he's feeling okay. So,
now, we're just about to let you go, and in about half an hour's time, Tommy Flanagan's going to jump on that headset that you're sitting on. How's he going to go today at home with the Fields? He a little bit flat last week with the way that the Fields started, but back at home, in his own surrounds, this is sort of where he likes to explode.
This is Tommy Flanagan territory, mate. Out at Pressure Park, he loves it here. His voice will just echo nicely in this in the club rooms here. It'll be, everyone will be hearing Tommy Flanagan's voice, I reckon. It'll be lovely hearing his voice along with yours, Joey. The two of the best going around.
Can we demand that some of the people from outside come and sit up here to watch Flanners live for the afternoon?
If you give that responsibility to Flanners, I'm sure he'll be able to sort it out.
Mate, good luck today. I know you're watching from the sidelines, and hopefully you are back next week. It's a big game for the footy club because a win keeps you right in with the rest of the pack, and a loss, unfortunately, probably has you hanging out with St Bernard's and Old Trinity at the bottom three. So I'm sure you want to come home tonight at 5 o'clock with 4 points in the bank. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks very much, Joe. Appreciate it. Thanks, gents.
Willie Edwards joining us on the Saturday warm-up. He is the injured captain of the Caulfield Grammarians, who are playing against University Blues today. They've got a massive lineup, the University Blues side. We went through a little bit earlier on, Nico. Sam Grimley, AFL experience. Marty Gleeson, AFL experience. Matt Crocker, Sample experience. Hugh Goddard, AFL experience. Jeremy Goddard, AFL experience. Did you mention to me Merrick Buchanan might have some AFL experience or VFL type experience?
A very handy cricketer as well.
Wow, cricket experience.
Does that count for anything?
Well, I don't know. He must know how to stand in the middle of the ground then if he's got some cricket experience. Will Carrington, who's played a lot of senior footy at Old Scotch, is in the side today. And Fraser Elliott will come into the University Blues side for his debut. We're told he's from the VFL. So there's a bit of experience in that side for the University Blues. Before we take a break, and Guy Martin join us to talk about that, what's the one thing you want to see from the fields today in the conditions as they're currently situated? It's overcast and has been raining for most of the morning. Hopefully the rain stays away. But is it trying to win that contested footy? Is it trying to get the ball on the outside and use some speed to outrun these big, tall University Blues operators?
It's probably a two-part, isn't it, with the slippery conditions, just getting hands to the footy first and who can be clean on the outside and get the ball moving quickly. As you sort of mentioned, there's a few big targets up forward to aim for. If they can get the ball in quick enough, you give yourself every chance.
I tell you what, look out for that battle between Angus Cameron, number 42 of Caulfield, and Sam Grimley, number 2 of University Blues. That is going to be an absolute corker of a battle up forward. And while we're on battles, we might as well mention the other one at the other end, Ben Capra, University Blues fullback. He's in the number 17. We'll come up against Julian DeBosch, who every time we call the Caulfield game, you'll hear Flanners a bit later on get excited about this. If he's within 60, 65 metres of goal, he will put it on his boot. It'll go goalpost height through the middle. No question about that. It is 25 minutes to 2. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, Guy Martin, the coach of the University Blues, is going to join us to talk all things Blues. They're sitting 3-2, and last week they had their best win of the season. There's plenty more to come on the Saturday warm-up, all for Mechwicker here on RSN Carnival.
You're listening to the VAFA Match of the Day on RSN Carnival. All thanks to Mechwicker. Head to mechwicker.org.au or free call them now on 1800 163 292.
Is anything less than the top four finish a failure for the team and the depth and the squad that they have?
Totally. If they don't play finals, they'll be walking with their backs to the wall around the joint, the coaches, because Timmy's very successful in business and in life. He expects his footy team to be similar.
It is the Saturday warm-up all for Mechwicker. That's the voice of Brian Waldron on the podcast earlier on in the week, talking about the plethora of talent at the University Blues. The coach of Uni Blues is Guy Martin. He joins us on the Saturday warm-up. Hello, Guy.
Joey, how are you doing?
Going well, mate. How are you going?
Fantastic. Really good.
Brian Waldron.
Yeah, I heard it.
He's done that for a few years now, so it's not like you've come into a team and you've recruited all these players. They've been there for a while, and he's got expectations on Uni Blues. Do you feel that now that you've been involved with the club through a pre-season and the first five rounds?
Obviously I was external last year, and you're sort of outside looking in. You're sort of thinking, look at all the names. But one thing I've learned over the years, and especially in A grade and last grade, it's such an even comp, and it's not just about, you don't look at your top five or six, you're looking at your bottom five or six, and more or less the sides, if you look through the last few years, the best sides are the ones with the greatest depth, not the greatest, don't get me wrong, top end talent is great, but it's very much about, you know, your whole 22, or come this time of year, you know, you've got 6, 8, 10, 12 injuries, it's players 34, 35, 36, and I think everyone just gets a little bit blinded by the big names at the top, and it's much deeper than that, especially in such a strong and even competition. You know, you might go to some local leagues or some country footy, and those top three or four players win your games. Top three or four players here don't win your games. They go a long way and they help, but they don't. You know, it's harder to win off your own boot, I reckon, in A grade Amos.
Last weekend, you had probably your best win of the season,
definitely,
coming away from OMs with an 8-point victory, and there was a few key players of all the names that weren't actually playing in the team. Did you find that they had to find those bottom four or five players have greater responsibility to get you over the line, or was there just something that clicked and it worked well last Saturday?
Look, I think last week was I've been told was the first win without Ace since he's been at the club. Admittedly, he's played most weeks, so you know, there hasn't been a heap, but a few games last year he didn't play. And he's a big loss. He'll be a big hole today as well. But we just changed our mindset. It probably, especially against the Trinity game, probably just the expectation that those names or whatever will get it done. And when a few of them are injured and you have a couple injuries, everyone sort of just sits back. So we probably put it on not necessarily the players 18 or 22, more probably our younger brigade, like Jez Goddard, Eddie Zeebarth, even Lockie Swanee, Furphy, these sort of young up-and-comers that are senior players. They're not 18 to 22. They're not players 18 to 22, but they're that sort of mid-range, but they're 19, 20, 21 years old, and they're ready and they're capable, but they've probably been a little bit shy and potentially, you know, not intimidated, but they've sort of thought, well, this is Ace's team and Youngie's team and Faz's team. You know, I'm just sort of riding their coattails, and we've sort of made a bit of an emphasis after the Trinity game and last week and again today that, no, this is your team. And a lot of those names we talk about, you know, they're pushing or above 30 as well. Yeah. So they're still very classy players, but you know, once you start hitting 30, and as I said, the standard of this game, or the standard of this competition, it's not easy.
As a coach, that next wave of players you mentioned coming through, how do you give them the confidence to come out and feel like they can step onto the ground and do it, and not rely on those top end players?
I won't get into details with certain guys, but it's about conversations and keeping it pretty simple with some guys. Some of them, you know, have got a little bit overawed, and just give them basic tasks and give them, you know, have faith in them, give them opportunity. You know, that you can't yo-yo players, give them a week, oh, they're a bit flat, get them down. You know, it happens sometimes you play a young guy and then the next week you might have to drop him because injuries, you know, people come back. But if you've got to play a young guy, you've got to rely on him, you've got to put him in the position, you've got to give him some midfield time, you've got to give him 3-4 weeks in a row to grow. You just chuck him out there in a forward pocket for half the game and then drop him the next week, yeah, he's going to go into his shell. So I think the idea of, you know, giving them roles, giving them responsibility and giving them time to develop, and then they just start to realise, oh, I'm up to it. Like Jez Goddard this first month, Furphy last week have just started really growing and developing, and I guess the hope is that they keep doing that.
The one thing that, and you mentioned a couple of those names, Eddie Zeebarth is another one that's come in the last couple of years. When they've played in the senior side at Blues, they've managed to stay in the team.
Yep.
There hasn't been that sort of, you play one game and then you're out, you play two games, or you have a bad day, you're out. They've been able to persevere and feel like they're part of the team. How is the reserve side of the footy club? Do they feel like they're part of it too, and that if they play well enough, they're going to get some opportunities throughout the year?
Yeah, I mean, a couple of guys have come up this week that played in the twos last week. It's definitely a different club to, you know, a lot of these guys out here are country boys playing now. So you don't see a lot of them around December, January, February, and then all of a sudden uni starts, and then out of the woodwork, these guys are coming, you know, late March. So it has been tough to get to really know a lot of these guys personally. You know, because they weren't around during the pre-season.
Yep.
But they know full well. I mean, as you know, Lockie G last week's come up, and there's been a number of guys last week. Alex Singleton, who came up, and I caught him on the Friday night. It was a bit of a late call-up, and he was shocked, to say the least. And he's held his spot and more, you know, absolutely held his spot. So they know that, you know, come this time of the year, a lot of guys are getting the opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, I think throughout a year, you're going to play 45, 50 players. This next 6 weeks, we know there's injuries. We know there's availabilities. COVID's still floating around. This flu's... We had a Hugo Barry pulled out yesterday with flu / maybe COVID. they're fully aware. You put some good performances. Looking at that list, Humphrey's played twos. Benny Capra's played twos. G's played twos. Fraser Elliott's played twos. So there's a handful of guys who played twos in the last few weeks. Ingleton that have sort of forced their way into the senior side.
I wanted to ask you about Hugo Barry, and then we were told he's unfortunately not playing today because he played last week, and Fraser Elliott comes in. So what kind of player is Fraser? And when Hugo does come back in, what can we expect from him when he's playing?
So Hugo played his debut last week. He trained with the club last year but was still in South Australia, but then got stuck here with COVID and couldn't travel back. He's like an old school centre-half forward.
Yep.
Lumbering, he's not slow, he's not quick, but he's the sort of guy that you can happily put the ball on his head and he'll take a pack, he'll cop a hit, he'll break a pack. So he's that sort of old, you know, Stewie Lowe type, perhaps. Yep. So that's probably a bit of a like for like.
Buckets.
Yeah, you can take a real strong pack mark. unfortunately, last week he didn't get a heap of it. He was playing on Josh Freese, a good player. Conditions probably didn't allow it. But he would have played today and given another opportunity. Fraser Elliott is at Richmond VFL. He played Tat Cup at age 15. He's the youngest. Yeah, you can do some Googling. Fraser Elliott, Tat Cup 15 and a bit. Was sort of looked at as a draft prospect. Few injuries. Played against Old Brighton for us. But then injured himself on the Tuesday after with a bit of a side strain. So, he's back. What is he, 19? Pretty tall, big-bodied mid, very clean hands. Yep. Likes to sort of dish it out and handball from stoppage.
You're talking big blokes and buckets a second ago. Yep. Sam Grimley, how important has he been this year? 15 goals, 5 games.
Well, I think it's actually his old man's been more important. So he kicked, 7-5-0-0-3, the 2 weeks where... 2 weeks where he kicked zero, his old man was on holiday and away.
Well, there you go.
And not at the game.
Normally it works the other way, isn't it? Mum and dad come to watch and you don't see it.
The old man came up to us and said, what the heck have you been doing? What's he been doing? So he's got donuts 2 weeks in a row, round 3 and 4. And then obviously last week came out, kicked 3. It was really important. And obviously he's chopping out a little bit in the ruck with Ace not playing.
Have you got Dad going end to end today, position himself in the eye line?
I haven't seen him, but I'm sure we'll know when he's here. He's a good man, and he's been great. And I don't know, I've been so impressed. He's hardly missed a session. He's quite fit for, especially for a big bloke. But I think last year, I don't know, the boys said he just probably struggled a little bit. But this year he's been great. A day like today might not suit him perfectly, but he's just got to provide a contest, help out in the ruck a little bit, but because he's quite agile and fit for a big guy, he can also get on the end of him, sort of out the back as well.
Now, on the other side of the coin, they've got a power forward themselves, Julian Dabosch. Does Ben Capra just go and stand him all afternoon, or maybe, how do you structure that up?
Maybe depends where they play, how deep they are. So we've got Cap down there. Hugh Goddard as well is obviously a pretty tall key defender. Even a young guy, Fulton, he's probably not as big. He'll give away a bit of size, but we happily put him on Jackson Payne last week. Yeah. So, and again, it might not be an absolute perfect day for the big boys anyway. So... I think it might depend on him and Morrisby and who's playing higher and who's playing deeper, but I trust someone like Cap or Goddard to do the job.
A couple of quick ones before we let you go. Yep. When we talk to opposition clubs coming up against the Uni Blues, we always ask them, do you focus on what Blues are doing or what you're doing? As the coach of University Blues, do you focus on what you're doing or what the opposition does with the ball?
A bit of both. Sit on the fence for that one. sometimes it varies. Sometimes it might be depending on who you're playing. I think a game like today, it's going to be a bit more scrappy, and it's going to be a bit surge, it's going to be old school, it's going to be momentum, it's going to be contest, it's going to be all that sort of stuff. It's probably, you're not going to sit up and see the slickest, ball side to side, inside 45, switch kicks. It's probably going to be, will be a bit of a scrap because we just have a shot after the siren.
There is here. This is one of your boys.
To win the game, 4 points.
All right, to win the game, who's got the ball there?
I can't even see, I need my glasses.
Guy, that is
Jack Nunes territory.
Number 29 for University Blues on the siren to win the game. It is a massive kick.
Oh, he got it.
I think he's gone all the way. So Uni Blues have won the reserves game after the siren. Oh, no, it's been called touched on the line.
No.
Controversy reigns supreme.
Oh, no.
Where's the field umpire?
Oh, no.
So Caulfield are going to win this game.
The field umpire's gone into the goal umpire.
That's their goal umpire too, because that's Hazy's dad down here.
Oh, goodness gracious me. They're celebrating both clubs at the moment. Now, they're conferring... No. The umpire's walked over to the flag. He's signalling.
Oh, gee whiz.
This is... we haven't had this sort of controversy in the pre-game before. This is extraordinary.
Both teams just lined up here on the fence waiting to see which way it lands too.
No players have any idea. I think Justin Quill's coming up to say, come and get Guy Martin out of the box. We're about to say goodbye to you. I just quickly want to touch on, you've got pants on instead of shorts. What's the go here?
Shorts weren't working. Had to get the pants going. So we had to change something up, and it's working.
Good luck today, mate. We'll catch up with you after the game.
All the best.
Good to see you, mate. Guy Martin joining us, the coach of University Blues. Now, let's stick with this, Nico. We're watching... Both sides, I wonder if they're going to say have the kick again. What's going on here? Looks like they're just going to shake hands.
Fascinating. There's no celebration.
I don't think anyone knows who has won the game.
Field umpire's got the ball in his hands and it doesn't look like either side's...
Now, the goal umpire is signalling a flag, so it's a behind, which means the final score is going to be Caulfield 6-5-41, University Blues 4-14. 38. That was a tremendous strike of the football.
That's 45 out, right forward pocket, right foot kick.
Right.
That really is Jack. It was Jack Nunes, wasn't it, for Carlton last year, maybe the year before, that slotted one from out in that sort of territory after the siren. And
that was one of the kicks of the year.
It was an instantaneous reaction, wasn't it, where you had the Uni Blues players going up as if it had gone through, and there's clearly a touch on the ball, and that's probably 150 metres away from us, so there's no way of knowing whether it was touched over or in front of the line.
We're next to no chance of knowing if that was actually touched or not. Unfortunately, Blues on the AMO's team sheet haven't got the numbers next to the name, so we don't know who had that shot at goal, but geez, it was a great kick. Before we take a break, so if you're just joining us, the Corbin Reserves have won 6-5-41, Uni Blues 4-14-38 with a little bit of controversy on the goal line. Nick Duxon was watching it all unfold as we were listening to Guy Martin talk us through the University Blues side of things. Is there one thing that you took away from that chat with the coach of the University Blues, Nico?
He was very big on not focusing on the big names they've got in their squad, and it's easy to look and be seduced by, and you mentioned they're missing a couple, but there's still a lot of ex-AFL and, you know, ex-VFL or current VFL listed players in there. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out today, and I've talked about it even spread and where those other contributors come from to replace your Cordies and Fasolos and some of those guys that are missing.
And it looks like Fulton, James Fulton, number 23, might be the one to stand Julian Debosch from a University Blues side of things. It is 10 minutes to 2 o'clock. Let's take a quick break on RSN Carnival. Seb Gotch is walking through the University Blues reserves huddle at the moment. He's going to join us at halftime. We might actually have some fascinating stuff to talk about with Seb now that Caulfield have won this game. And he's retired from cricket as of yesterday in the last 24 hours, and you're a great cricket man, as you mentioned a bit earlier on, talking about the talents Merrick Buchanan has. So there's plenty to talk to Seb about at halftime of the game. Let's take a break. When we come back, we build up to this game with a look at it. Tommy Flanagan joins us, and the first bounce. It's all coming up on RSN Carnival.
You're listening to the Batha Match of the Day on RSN Carnival. All thanks to Mequacare, caring for more than 15,000 people each week across Victoria.
It is 7 minutes to 2 o'clock in the Saturday warm-up. Round six of the AMO season comes from Glen Huntly Oval today. Caulfield Grammarians are taking on University Blues. Both sides have made their way out onto the arena. It's all for Mequacare, a leading not-for-profit organisation with a reputation for excellence. You can free call them now on 1800 163 292 or visit mequacare.org.au. I tell you what, Nico, it might be overcast and the rain has actually stopped. The breeze is just starting to pick up. I wonder which side that will favour as the afternoon goes on, potentially to the right of the radio, which is the opposite end of the race course. Be interesting to see how this game unfolds and the toss of the coin in a couple of minutes' time. Are there a couple of things that you're looking forward to seeing today?
Plenty I'm looking forward to seeing today. I'll just
soak give us a couple
just
to start
soak
with.
That one in. Oh, I think we've talked a little bit. The two big forwards at either end, and it's one of those days where if one of those two guys can clunk a couple and put a few through the sticks, particularly if the guys can move the ball down there quickly, just how big an impact that can make. And probably even just watching the back end of the reserves game there, you're right, it does look like it might have dried out a little bit and the ball started to move a little bit cleaner. Both sides have a couple of AFL-listed and ex-VFL, AFL-listed guys, and you'd just be interested to see who can take a game by the scruff of the neck, particularly around the ball where it's a bit greasy and slippery and where that class sort of shines through. And as we've mentioned, it's a big game for Caulfield. They're one and four, and you know, if you're 1-5, it really makes it hard from there. You've got to hope a lot goes right to get your season back on track, whereas 2-4 and... Uni Blues potentially, you know, just around that pack as well, where a win here sort of elevates them up and then a loss is right back in the pack.
Well, the last team, Nico, to be 1-5 after six rounds and not finish in the bottom two, which means they didn't get relegated, is De La Salle in 2015. They're the last team that sat in the bottom two after round six and didn't get relegated. Every other team after that has been 1-5.
Well, this is Ken Hinckley, AFL sort of territory. Wow. You're 0-5 and can make the finals. And
If anyone can, Punchy Williams can pull a rabbit out of the hat. Tommy Flanagan has just joined us up in the broadcast spot. Tommy, before we talk about this game, we were in the middle of chatting to Guy Martin and the reserves were having a shot at goal, University Blues, to win the game. It was a bit of chaos from our vantage point. What was it like down there?
Yeah, well, I was in a similar vantage point. I was right in front of where we are, so I've got don't really have a great view of that 90-degree angle post to post, so I couldn't quite see whether it was over the line. It was definitely touched by Jackson Small, but, right on the line and adjudicated to be touched just before the line, so Caulfield just get the narrow win. So it's great for us, but it's tough for the man from Blues who kicked that. What would have been a magnificent goal had it not been adjudicated to be touched before the line.
Now, we were just talking in the build-up to this one. Very much looking forward to watching Sammy Grimley go about it for Uni Blues and Julian Debosch on the other side of things. Who else can we keep an eye on today, Flanners, from a Caulfield perspective?
Well, Paddy Bannister's back in the team from Essendon VFL, and he was scintillating for a couple of weeks there at the start of the season before he went back up to Essendon last week. So he's back in the team. He's an exciting one. Will Bainbridge has been great at the back, and as he was last week against Brighton, just his fourth game of senior footy. Who else? We've got new guys coming into the team this year. We've had...
we get to see Ingo.
Yeah, Ingo comes in. He's another good one. Morecambe medalist, as Billy Edwards was saying before, which is the best player in year 12 in the first 18 at the school. So terrific to have him in the team as well. Oscar Roberts is another one who's coming to the team this year. He's been terrific at the back, really poised and calm with that beautiful left boot and a great one-on-one defender as well. So those are the guys that have sort of made their mark this season that we didn't see last year.
I tell you what, Nico and Flanners, I'm really looking forward to hopefully seeing in the middle Jack Wallace, who's going to be the standing captain today for the Fields, go up against Mark James, who has been just the first magnet on the board for any University Blues midfield team in a long time. So Wallace up against James. I wonder if Paddy Hayes, who's a veteran of University Blues, will stand Isaac Morrisby down in defence, given that we think James Fulton is probably going to go to Debosch for most of the afternoon.
Yeah, very well could. He's a tough matchup at the moment, Mozzie. He's up and about. He's had a fantastic start to the year, the big fella. He can go all three-thirds of the ground and have a serious influence, and he's a real team leader from a morale perspective. So it'd be fantastic to see him for Caulfield's sake to get up and about, and whoever's got him is going to have their hands full.
Now, community umpiring round. All umpires are still in the heart of the centre square with the captain. So the toss of the coin just happened. It fell in the mud, so they said, no, redo it. So they're doing it now. Jack Wallace has won the toss. He's going to go to the right of the radio dial. So Uni Blues will go to the racecourse end in this opening quarter. Before the first bounce, Nico, we need a tip, a margin. You can give us a couple of names that you want to look out for and a potential storyline that we could talk about in the post-game. Maybe it's a kick after the sirens, that kind of day.
Mate, I should be throwing those questions to you. There's no expert.
I'll give you an answer.
I was about to say, there's no expert tips coming here. Well, Uni Blues are missing a few, so let's go out on a limb and go for Caulfield by three kicks.
Ooh,
18
feels.
Points and on their home deck, big game. The big fella, Debosch, to kick
Debosch.
A bag.
All right.
You've talked about him enough. Let's see him in action.
All right. Flanners, tip and a margin and give us a couple of names as well.
We've been handy at home over the last, last time we played here against Old Zav. So if we can stick true to that form, I reckon Fields by 20 points. I reckon Tate Short for best on ground out of the middle of the ground. He's been unbelievable for us this year.
All right. Tate Short and Fields by 20. I'm going Blues, three goals. And I've got both Goddards to have a day out in these conditions. But it will be a tough day to bring your own Sharon to a ground like this with the weather the way it's been. Although, Flanners, we did talk about this, I think it was yesterday, that the ground is in very good nick considering all the rain we've had this morning. It looks to have held up pretty well.
Yeah, elite level drainage here at Glen Huntly. There. Yes. With the rain clearing off about 15, 20 minutes ago, I reckon the ground would be nice and dry by midway through the first quarter. It's really good drainage here, like the MCG.
How are we measuring the track?
Well, with a penetrometer, how else would you do it here at Caulfield?
I was about to say.
What do you reckon? Good five? No, it wouldn't be a good five. It might be a soft six. I don't know what any of that means, by the way.
No, me either. I've just seen the numbers and the ratings, and you've got to look over there and buy into it, don't you?
We certainly do. Now, our opening term, where Flanners is going to call the action in just a moment, is all for SCM Finance, dedicated to quality, process, and a disciplined approach to wealth management and investment, working to build relationships with you in order to best understand your needs today and in the future. It is Caulfield up against University Blues. Blues are going to the racecourse end in this opening term. Fields to the right of the radio dial. And to get us underway, it's the voice of Caulfield, Tommy Flanagan, on RSN Carnival.
RSN Carnival match of the day live from the Glen Huntly Oval. It is the Fields up against the Uni Blues for round six of William Buck Premier. And the umpire holds the ball aloft and we're ready to go for what is a blockbuster in the VAFA. And it's up
going. Will Kennedy knocks it down, ricochets back to him, hands it off to acting captain Jack Wallace, charging through the congestion. There was Furphy, couldn't take it too cleanly, and then it came to half forward with a high up and under kick. Will Bainbridge able to intercept it, and then going the other way up in the Elwood direction, but the intercept mark is taken there by Buchanan, and off go Blues to the outer wing. Tate Short there in position, takes the intercept mark. Right in front of our commentary position here, grandstand side of Glenn Huntley. Numbers are here with Blues. Oscar Roberts has got to be good here on the goal line. Oh. He can't stop that. Soccering kick off the ground is through for the first goal of the day for the Blues. Schaefer sends one towards half forward. Bouncing ball. Is it going to favour Lockie Stevens? He's able to trap it with his foot and then soccer it back to Elwood. He gives it back to the running Schaefer. Schaefer inside forward 50. Launches long to the goal line and pumps it through for the Fields. Big goal, Harry Schaefer. First one for the day for Caulfield. 7 minutes gone in the opening quarter. It's Caulfield 1-6. Uni Blues 1-7. Dead centre wing here. Grandstand side at Glenn Huntley. And it's Kennedy knocking it down. But Sharky, the Uni Blues man, and he kicks it up towards half forward. A holding free kick is going to come out of the stoppage.
Might be Caulfield's way here.
Tate Short in the middle of it both ways.
And a 52.
There's it off the ball and maybe a bit of descent there. And yeah. And he's not the man that Uni Blues would want to be giving freebies to and just getting him into the game. He's an absolute superstar, Tate. He kicked a massive goal against Zavs to put them away. And this would be a great start for him this afternoon. Tate Short from about 20 metres outside angle goes bang. Runners going through the middle of the ground. Moves it up towards half forward. Baltus is there trying to tap it in front of himself. Trying to gather. Usually pretty classy in this situation. Oh. And he is again here. Nick Baltus. He's able to eventually gather and then sizes him up, curls it around on the right foot and puts it through for the Fields third. Ground level Grimley able to hand it back to a man snapping towards goal. It was opportunistic and it was a good little snap there out of the congestion. And it was Eddie Zeebarth on that left putting it through for the second goal for the Blues, a much needed one.
Goes across the ground with a kick looking for Goddard. Only man home is Webster for Caulfield, zigging-zagging himself one way, then the other. Now to Dane Crognali, just outside 50. Now, we've seen Dane kick a thumping ball before, and he looks like he's going to set himself up from here. Dane Crognali, the midfielder.
The best from the West.
He'll have to kick it about 55 to 60 metres. Breeze at his back. He gives it everything he's got. That is a wonderful strike of the football from the best of the West. Magnificent stuff from Dane Crognali.
Ball thrown up, Morrisby doing the ruck work, palms it down, searching for Elwood, and he's copped a high one as well. Siren surely about to sound as we approach the 33-minute mark of this opening term, thanks to SCM Finance. Jack Elwood, and he comes to put a cherry on top on a fantastic opening quarter for CGFC, and he comes now from pretty much point-blank range and bangs it through, Jelly. He's got his first. Morrisby and Grimley lock horns again. Grimley front position, then slaps it out into space. Only as far as Lockie Harris taken high. Umpire says he was taken high.
Well, he'll kick this.
He definitely could, Lockie Harris. He's got a good leg on him with the breeze behind him.
He's kicked nine once before, Nick Duxon. He's kicked nine.
Lockie Harris, not Lockie Stevens.
Oh, sorry, Lockie Harris. Lockie Harris.
You just really wanted him to be involved in the game, didn't you?
Lockie Harris has had nine kicks before in a game.
I'd be surprised if Lockie kicked a bag in juniors.
Every chance. We'll bring his name up and have a look.
Looks like a similar spot to where Dane Crognali kicked his in the first quarter and thumped it 10 metres over the goal umpires heading onto the main road.
Got a good show on him, Harris, from 52 metres out. Launches long towards the Nearham road end and pumps it home. It was never missing. It was a magnificent strike from Lockie Harris, and he puts it home for his first goal of the afternoon.
The new boy in the team will set it up to the top of the square. DeBosch is back there.
Morris!
Taking it in front of him is Isaac Morrisby, taking the mark in front of Julian DeBosch. They've kicked the only goal of the second term so far. Morrisby stands up from point-blank range. He delivers another one for the Fields.
Wallace gives it to Page. Page sets it up with a breeze and launches a massive goal for the Fields. Nathan Page has got his second of the afternoon. Barker extracts, goes up to full forward. Jules! It went over the top of all the hands and it's bounced through for a goal. Will Barker launches long from right half forward. Jules, he made a big contest. Neither he or his direct opponent could get a hand on it like they probably initially wanted. And then as soon as it went over their head, Jules, he said, that's fine by me. Let it go through. Crognali, his kick was dispossessed. And now they're off and running here. Buchanan tries to sidestep around one and goes on the left foot towards the goal line. And he puts it through for the first goal of the last quarter, Buchanan.
Faded out of bounds on the full. Now on the breeze, Goddard from the opposite pocket to where he just had a shot will have the legs to go the journey from here, you'd think.
Left footer too, if he can run around and open up the space. This is the pocket you want to be kicking it from.
Well, let's see what he does. He wastes no time. He just sets it up the top of the square. Whistle on play. Off the ball from Merv at the other end of the ground has found something. And we're just waiting to see which way it's going. Merv's come all the way down now to say the free kick is going the way of University Blues. He's run nearly 200 metres, Mervin, to give this free kick and a goal. Straight away, Holmgren turned around and banged it home.
Might set it up into the breeze. Seen one from Crognarly from this distance. Oh. This one's going close to the line. On the line. Is it marked? It is marked. And it's a Blues mark.
It's a great mark.
And it's Goddard who's going to hook around the corner on the left foot. And he's put it through for a goal. And the scores are level.
Crowd wait with bated breath. Spinning back into orbit it goes. Big pack of players around the football. It came a flying kick. It fell towards short. He shot the handball up to Carr. Take two from the pocket for James Carr. It's going towards goal. And it's home! James Carr has kicked a beauty! How about that? In the dying seconds from the pocket, James Carr over his shoulder for a goal.
As the kick goes inside forward, well, towards forward 50 for the Blues, it's picked up. They're running inside. Tackle needs to be laid. Cameron almost gets one. Dammersmith tries to get Grimley, but he's able to hand it off to Nagel, and Nagel puts it through.
They might get another one and completely blow the margin. Grimley from the back. Mark James at the front. Turns around. Snaps the goal. Bangs it home. What a finish to this game for University Blues. 3 in a minute, and the margin at the end of this game may be 4 goals, a lot greater than the game has suggested all afternoon. And there's your siren to signal the end of this one. The stalwart of the team, Mark James, finishes with the ball. He crosses 50, he shoots at goal. It's swinging back, but it's not enough. It's a minor score, it's not going to matter. The final score goes the way of the University Blues, 14-11, 95, Caulfield, 11-10, 76. They trailed by 21 points at three-quarter time. The University Blues came home with the wind and came home with the win to win by 19 points. We have been joined by one of the best players on the ground. He kicked a cracking goal as well late in the piece, Huey Goddard. Hello, Hugh.
Hey, guys. How are you going?
Going great. How are you feeling after all of that?
Oh, pretty excited. Geez, it was nerve-wracking towards the end, but, pretty convincing win. We just managed to hold on and just go late, so... No, very happy, very happy.
What was the message from Guy at three-quarter time? Trailing by 21 points, knowing that you had probably a 4 or 5-goal breeze to kick with.
I think it was just maintain being calm. I think, you know, you can get pretty agitated when you get the win. You got to do it right now. But, you know, it probably didn't happen for the last 10 minutes, really. Like, it was very close throughout the whole game. And then, you know, you could see that flow of goals towards the end. So he was just being calm and then, you know, backing in what we do.
Is that a move from yourself to switch forward and go, get me down there, get me in the game? And again, when you sort of swung behind the ball later in the term, is that you going, this is where I'm going to put myself? Or is that the coach getting the message out too?
It was all the coach. The very last one, we had a few boys just stream back, but no, just following orders.
the last or second last centre bounce, were you expecting to have 8 Caulfield guys run off their defensive line and you guys would just stand on this side of the ground?
No, I don't know who his number 8 is for them, but he was at the back. He was the only one there. He could not believe it.
Page would have just stood there.
He was like, what is going on? I've never seen it. And we were so rattled too. We didn't know what to do. I'll tell you what, if I could kick a goal there, that would be miraculous.
Take us through your goal, because it was a great one. You took a big pack mark. We've been hanging out for someone to take a big pack mark today, and then you didn't bother waiting for it. You just turned around and banged it over 3 streets over. You enjoying playing King Goals in this team?
Mate, I'm loving it. Obviously, you know, footy didn't go out the way I wanted it, but I'm just really enjoying being here. My little brother's come down this year as well, so, you know, I feel pretty lucky to be able to play with him. And, you know, it's such a great club with so many good people. So, yeah, really, really enjoying it.
Big game today, 3-2. Now you're 4-2. You sort of push yourself up into the top half of the ladder. How important is that result in the context of the year, just to get a bit of a buffer in the wins, losses?
Yeah, mate, it's huge. You know, as we've said all this year, you know, the whole competition is so even this year. So, you know, every game is so critical. As much as we can get the momentum and win every game, it goes a long way. So
a couple on the track now, and talking to Guy pre-game, missing a number of key players as well for the younger guys coming to the squad to be able to put a couple of wins together.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's been, you know, we've been a bit unfortunate with injuries. So, you know, to give guys an opportunity coming through, it has been massive. And that really holds you in great stead moving towards the end of the year when, you know, you've got so many players to choose from when hopefully you've got a healthy list. So that's been great.
What it does for the club, Nico, and for Hugh, is it sets them up for the next block of six where you'll face Collegians next week, which is a home game. And then you've got, we're calling them the big three. You've got Zavs, St. Kevin's and Brighton. Do you use next week to test yourself for them, or do you just have to get through next week first and then worry about Zavs when it comes 2 weeks' time?
Yeah, it's just week by week, for sure. You know, every game is critical. Doesn't matter who you come against. You know, you've got to play the same brand of footy. Obviously, every team plays a bit differently, so you've got to, you know, adjust a few things. But, you know, we're very well drilled and very well managed by Marto and the team there. So, you know, every week's, yeah, really important. We just go about it then. So.
Now, this is the second week in a row you've won without Ace Cordy, which is a rarity in University Blues history. Mm-hmm. While Ace hasn't been there, does he come back in the next couple of weeks, and does your role change when people like him come back in?
In terms of position, I think, you know, our club is very flatline. Like, we're very inclusive. You know, the youngest guy on the field can have just as much a voice as everyone else. So, you know, we really want to be inclusive in that way. And, look, we're really looking forward to have Ace back. You know, we've got Fasolos coming back as well. You know, we've got Jack Stephen, who hasn't even played a game that you see. He's probably our best player. So, you know, it's getting pretty excited to get, you know, these guys back and in the team. So, I'm very excited.
Can I throw back to one more weird thing we noticed? And there were eight guys streaming off the square. I think it was the start of the third quarter. One of your blokes must have burst out the centre square and then kicked it 40 yards back the other way.
That was actually my brother.
Kicked it to him.
Is that waxing or is it do you call that an intercept? Or
they actually had a laugh down there because it was actually my little brother. So, like, and he hit me up. So I was like...
We were trying to work out... Now, you're from an AFL background. We're trying to work out whether... Because it went backwards, where the meters gain goes off, but it's an effective disposal.
Well, I don't know. You guys have to tell me that.
It's got to be an intercept mark, though, doesn't it? It was going that way.
What happens from here for the footy club tonight? You just celebrate with a few quiet drinks, get ready for next week?
I think it's really important that you enjoy it. Yeah. That's the best part about footy. And you know? I think that last week when you had that really good win over OMs, it was just that feeling of, like, you know, this is why we do it. This is the best feeling. That, you know, this is why we do it. So. To have that feeling, I think the boys remember that into this week. It's just about building momentum. So, yeah, we'll just keep working forward and hopefully get more of these wins.
Well, congratulations on today. Well played. And a great goal too. We'll see you again in a couple of weeks' time. I think we're calling you guys against St. Kevin's.
Beautiful.
Which is a massive game. So we'll see you then.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hugh Goddard joining us in the post-game. He was terrific today.